Amen. Back in April, God brought back into my life a young man. Young to me is a kid that was 27, but to me that's still a kid, he's young. And he just showed up one night. I thought, this is interesting. Been a while, a couple years. Hey, Mike, how you doing? And I said, well, yeah, I'm getting older. I said, you've heard the phrase, older but wiser. I said, I'm sure about the older, but I'm not always sure about the wiser. And he laughs. And he sat down, and we started to chat. And I'm thinking in my heart, Jesus, what did you bring him for? What did you bring him here for tonight, Jesus? He said, Mike, it's sure good to see you. I've missed you. I got a few things I'd like to talk to you about that are bothering me. Okay. I said, where do we start, Justin? He says, well, I was at a party recently, and there was a lot of bad stuff going on there, and I was being a part of it. But all of a sudden, they started looking at stuff on the dark web. Now, I don't know what the dark web is other than it's full of evil, and some of you probably know a lot more about it than I do. And I said, so wherein lies the problem, looking at the dark web? He said, I saw the most evil images I could have ever seen in my lifetime, he said. I saw the personification of wickedness and evil and Satan and demons. And I can't get those thoughts out of my mind. Well, yeah. Do you really think there's a devil, Mike? I said, I do. Yeah. But I said, I don't live in fear of that devil. I have a healthy respect for Satan. But I said, I have authority over Satan. We have authority over the darkness and the demons. What do you mean, Mike? I said, do you want a simple solution to your dilemma? He says, yes. Just simply say, Jesus, cleanse me. And mean it from the depth of your soul. Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray that he would take those thoughts out of Justin's mind. A little bit later, he says, but Mike, do you think there really is a God? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, good possibility. I never talk in absolutes with these people because I want them to think and develop. The word says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's not my job to save them. It's not my job to work it out for them. But I'm going to whet their appetite as much as I can, if you know what I mean, to ponder and to seek and to search. And the Bible says, unless the Spirit calls them. Yeah, I try to be real in tune to who's called at that moment in time. Never judge who isn't called, but I always want to catch the call, if possible, and be there for him. And he said, Mike, but if there is a God, I've done such terrible things. And I said, terrible? Well, some really bad things, Mike. And if there is a God, I don't see how he could forgive me. Now, I knew in a second's notice of time that he wanted to tell me what those sins were, but I stopped for a moment. Devil is a shrewd operator, folks. The demons can, I call it a demon of confession. He can overburden us, guilt trip us, and mess with our heads so bad that we just got to spill our guts to someone. But the word also says anything contrary to the will of God is sin. So I said, wait a minute, Justin, we got to pray about this. What, you don't want to hear, Mike? You think I'm that bad? No, no. I want to know that the Holy Spirit is right here, right now. The word says wherever two or more are gathered in my name. And I said, I'm going to pray about this. So I simply prayed, Father God, if this is the time and the place for Justin to share what's heavy on his heart, give him a peace to share it. And if it's not Jesus, give him a peace that soon you will send someone across his path that he can share it with. In other words, folks, to bear his burden. No, Mike, I want to tell you. And this man begins to pour his heart out. And I thought in the past I'd been a bad dude. You know, I'm listening. And he, you know, it was very difficult for him to go back and revisit those moments in his life and how heavily burdened he was by them. And as he kept going on, I said, but wait a minute, Justin, what's the problem here? He goes, what do you mean, what's the problem here? I said, so far you've not told me a single thing that you've done in the realm of disobedience to God called sin that Jesus didn't die for. Not a single thing. What do you mean, Mike? I said, the word says Jesus was tempted in all things, not just the not so bad things. You mean Jesus was tempted to deal with some of the thoughts and desires I have in my head? I said, amen, praise God. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what you're struggling with. And he loves you. In the midst of your deepest and darkest moments, he's there for you. How do you know that, Mike? Because if he wasn't, you would not be sitting in my house tonight. God would not have brought you to Mike. Ain't there something I'm supposed to do to be forgiven? I said, you mean, well, I threw a few words out to him because of his spiritual background. We'll leave it at that. And I said, no, there's nothing you can do. He said, it seems too simple, Mike. I said, that's why a lot of people miss it. We're to have a childlike faith. What's the little song we used to sing as kids? God said it, and I believe it, and that's good enough for me. Say amen to that. That's true. And he said to me, Mike, how can I know I'm going to heaven? Well, I said, I always kind of use a word picture, like just, Jesus went down to the train station and bought everybody's ticket on that train to heaven. But until you go down to that depot and go up to that ticket agent and say, my name is Mike Pedersen, where's my ticket? And he gives you that ticket. And I said, dude, you just picked up your ticket. He looks at me kind of funny and he chuckles, really? Yeah. Well, can we pray, Mike? And I thought, wow, okay. Now, past experiences years ago, and he'd come and visit, I'd pray with him. And I'm a pretty simple prayer. I mean, I'm right short and to the point. And it's getting late, Mike. I better get going. And we give each other a hug. And he said, I love you, Mike. I said, I love you. But remember, Justin, nobody loves you as much as Jesus loves you. And away he went. For over the next few weeks, God would bring him back. He'd call me. He'd stop by to visit. And I got a text message one day from him. Because I always wonder, you know, devil, he's always on me. He don't like me. I had a couple people in the last weeks tell me that when they want to come down to Nora and see Mike, they always sense a resistance. But once I'm there, I sense the peace, the guy said the other night. Yeah. Anyhow, I'm not going to read them, but he sent me some text messages. And one day he sent me a text message. He says, I'm really having a great day. After talking to you, Mike, I feel different. It's exciting. I'm happy. Yeah, he said, I pray in the morning, I prayed at night, and whenever. And then he humbled me. And I first wasn't going to share this with you, but I will, because my heart's in the right place. He says to me, as far as I'm concerned, Mike, you're right up there with Jesus. Now, that didn't go to my carnal head. That went to my spiritual heart. And I said, yes, Jesus, he sees you through me. Yeah. I had somebody a while back bring up to me that, you know, you're an old man. You're not going to live forever. I said, none of us are in this reality. And he says, well, I don't know how I could get along without you. I said, that's what I'm trying to equip you for. Might sound a little cliche or a little arrogant on my part, but I'm trying to train up some more mics, if you know what I mean. When I was a kid, I struggled a lot. I still struggle with a lot of things. But there was a prayer I constantly repeated. It says, Heavenly Father, please forgive me for the secret thoughts and desires which I cannot fully understand, but which are all known unto thee. I do earnestly repent and am heartily sorry for these my offenses. And I beseech thee of thy great mercy to forgive me and to love me, Jesus. I think the most important, let the truth be told, element is our relationship with Jesus. Folks, you just got to be right up front, right out there. and don't think you can keep any secrets from God. The word says to bear one another's burdens. And I think that that's a calling to us in a really burdened world right now. And in Galatians it says, brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, cautiously, prayerfully, carefully, and humbly. Because there, but by the grace of God, could be me. All right? Restore him gently. But here's the admonition, watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Be careful of the company you keep. Carry each other's burden. And in this way, you what? You will fulfill the will of Christ, or the law of Christ. Different translations. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in who they are without comparing themselves to somebody else. For each one should carry their own load. The other thing I want to share about, and I don't want to talk too long, why am I in the burden-bearing business? First of all, God called me to be single. He's equipped me to be single. Paul says, as a single man, you can do more for Jesus than if you're married with the obligations of a wife and children. To me, there's no higher calling than to be a father and a mother and to bear children. But that wasn't God's calling on my life. So I'm more available to be there and doing things for Jesus. Plus, I don't have a wife to say, oh, honey, how could you say such a thing and embarrass us like that? I'm pretty off the wall and crazy. I got a sign on my wall at Nora that says, you're only as sick as your secrets. I think the most powerful element I have in trying to be there for others, and it was a hard journey for me, is to be very open and transparent about who I was, where I've been, and what I believe God's called me to be. When I listen to these people, these guys, and it's guys, my ministry is to the guys. Someone said a while back, Pedersen, what do you think God sends you to Nora to do? You always said you wanted to be a missionary. I said, yeah, I think so. He said, well, how would you sum it up? Now, you may think this sounds a little odd, but God sent me to Nora, South Dakota to teach men how to love. Yeah. Amen. And if God gives me that, allows me that privilege to mentor these guys, to be better someday husbands, to be better someday fathers, and certainly to better their walk with Christ, I consider myself honored. I consider myself called. But every time I listen, it's there, but by the grace of God, cuddles me. I had someone recently confess something in his past, and very tearfully confessed something in his past. And he had every right to go after this person that had harmed him and punish that person. Yeah, even legally, maybe. And right away, I thought, okay, where's his heart at in all of this? And I said, don't you want to go back and hold that person accountable? No, I don't, Mike. I really don't. Because if I was in that person's situation, I would hope that somebody would love me and not hold me accountable. I looked at the kid and I said, you are the epitome of mercy. Mercy is what God shares with us every day. You know, we got it coming. We deserve it. We earned it. But Jesus says, it's okay. It's gone. You're forgiven. I guess I would encourage us this week that it's important that we first of all, are transparent in our relationship with Jesus. I hide nothing from God. Good thoughts, bad thoughts, angry thoughts. The other day I got mad and I swore. You know, I said, well, I could have phrased it differently, Jesus, but you know exactly where my heart's at right now. And that's the best way I can describe it. So, yeah, next time Jesus helped me to clean it up a little bit. So my point is, people, we need to be in a real relationship with Christ. Not a facade. Not hiding behind one of these, but real. And it's a little gutsy, you know. And it's interesting, the other day I was talking, I had a chance to reach out to a kid that was waiting on me one day at Ace Hardware in Vermillion last December. Struck up a conversation with him. I said, "Oh, are you a college kid?" "Yeah." He said, "I'm in college." "Yeah." He said, "I'm my third year of college." I said, "What are you studying?" He said, "Psychology, but I don't know what I'm going to do with it." I said, "Well, I'm going to tell you like I tell a lot of guys." "Oh, what's that?" He said, "God will reveal his will for your life one day at a time in a series of choices. And I will pray that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will help you to make the wise choice, the right choice. But we don't always make the wise choice and the right choice. So when we screw up, simply fess up and press on." He says, "Tell me that again." "Are you a preacher?" I said, "No, I'm just an old painter. I mean, you know, can't you see I got the old painter's clothes on?" I said, "But I do a little mentoring once in a while." "You do?" "Yeah." "Like to who?" I said, "Well, guys your age. You know, I hire a lot of college kids for the summer and give me a chance to share a little Jesus with them." Next time I went back in the store, guess who come to wait on me? Yeah, there he was. "Hey, Mike," he said, "when you were here and last time, you said, you mentioned you do a little mentoring." I said, I like to, you know, ponder the meaning of life. "Oh, I'd like to come and talk to you sometime, Mike." "Well, we met the first time at Brulé in Vermillion, and he was shocked." And I can tell you, shocked, because he was at my house last Wednesday night for supper, and that's another thing. But anyhow, we met at Brulé that morning. It's a Saturday morning. We didn't get up till 3 hours later. And I thought, oh, I was too open with this guy. And devil's hammering me. You know, "Oh, you know, he's going to think you're a crazy old kook. And, you know, what just, you know, he shouldn't have." Oh, yeah. Devil don't like me. And I don't like him. Because he knows I got his number. Anyhow, I dumped all my dirty laundry out in front of this kid. From my past. And at the first, he didn't know what to do with it. Trust me. And a little bit later, an hour later into the conversation, he says, "I've never met anybody like you." Oh, I said, "I hear that a lot. I've never met anybody like you. We're all individual creations of God, you know? And you're so open. You're so honest. And you seem so real." He didn't trust me yet. Now, the Word cautions us to trust no one but Jesus. But in relationships, trust is an important element. So the day later, the devil's hammering away on me. "Oh, you scared that kid off. He's going to avoid you next time you go to Ace. He's going to go down the other aisle just to not have to cross paths with you." I thought, well, whatever. I tried, Jesus. Yeah. I was wrong. The other evening, he called me up and asked if he could come over because he'd like to see the store. I said, "Yeah, that'd be fine." It was just him. He didn't bring his girlfriend. And we started talking. And I said, "Did you understand the concept of when I sent you that text that in the beginning I throw all my dirty laundry right out there so that you can see how clean I keep my current laundry? Do you catch the picture there, people?" "Yeah. Sinner saved by grace." And he says, "You know what? I catch it, Mike." "Yeah." I said, "Did I scare you off?" "Nope. Nope." But again, he said it. "I've never met anybody quite as open and honest as you are. I caution you, though, in being open and honest. Prayerfully consider the leading of the Holy Spirit, because you're not supposed to dump everything on everybody, and there's certain people you don't want to share anything with if it's out of the will of God." But I think the most advantageous thing in my spiritual journey is my transparency. And not just with others, but yeah, I hide nothing from God. And I don't pretty it up when I present it before the Lord. Because his word says he knows it before we even consciously think it. That's not an excuse to have a bad attitude and everything. But it reassures me that if I stay close to Jesus in the journey, I'll have a right attitude. Do I need to quit? Have I run over my time limit? No. All right, so back to Justin. Okay, throughout next week's early part of the summer, he would come by. We'd visit. at nights it would be 1:30 in the morning, I'd say, dude, I got to get a little sleep, so you can either stay here and sleep on my couch or go home, but I got to go to bed. Okay. And summer came along. Didn't see him. And then I've said for years, Jesus, by your grace, I pray that I never have to stand at another young man's grave. Folks, I've stood there too many times. Someone said the other day, you know, these guys you've mentored and that are now no longer with us, doesn't that tear your heart out? I said, yeah, a little bit gets torn every time. But I said, I have a peace and a joy. And I recently went and visited a grave. And this is the truth, people. My relationship with that guy was so open and so honest. We knew each other probably more than we needed to or wanted to by the back. You know, the old saying, I knew him like the back of my hand. My joy that day when I walked away from that grave was I walked away with a peace. Yeah. Jesus, I loved him to the extent he'd allow me in his space. I loved him for you, to you, and through you. Yeah. So one of my little things I tell people, we got to love each other while we got each other and mean our goodbyes. And suicide, that's another whole topic. I just saw the statistics the other day again of the 20-something, or teens and 20-somethings that they surveyed in the, and the, with the current pandemic, the crisis, 26% people seriously contemplated suicide. It's time that we start taking a few minutes to be there for others. And you don't need to be Snoopy to find the burden, but let them know that you are available. And maybe you need to step up first and say, hey, you know what, I'm having a bad day. Several weeks ago, I went through some serious darkness and depression. The closest I've ever been to the edge. Yeah. I couldn't hide it. I couldn't run from it. I didn't seem to be able to get away from it. I thought, God, what are you trying to teach me? And he says, stay the course. Stay the course. You keep loving everybody for Jesus, through Jesus, and to Jesus, and you'll do fine. I'm there for you. I will take care of you. Yeah. He never let me fall over the edge. Back to Justin. The last text message he sent me was a Bible tract. One night he stopped by and he says, oh, Mike, I got to talk to you. I says, what's up? He said, I just want to let you know I checked into to treatment. I'm doing it as an outpatient, but I have to be up in Sioux Falls on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 6 to 9 at night. And I said to him, I said, so what moved you to do that, Justin? And he goes, you did, Mike. I did. I said, no. No. Yeah, you said some things last time I was here that really made me think, and that I needed to look into life face on and take responsibility for what I can control and let go of what I cannot control. And he said, I can control this. I need to deal with this. I found out later that he didn't stay in the program because he got so busy working last summer. The last message I ever got from him was a text message. It was the front and back cover he'd printed off of a Bible tract to let me know he was saved. He was in a right relationship with Jesus. So that night when I got the call that God had called him. Not again, Jesus, I said. Thank you, Jesus, that I loved him while I had him in my journey. Thank you, Jesus, that he died right. That he died in you. His prayer service was at the Catholic Church in Jefferson. And I wasn't going to go even to that. And I prayed about it and I thought, no one's going to understand why I'm there, Jesus. They're never going to know about the relationship that Justin and I had. But I went. And felt out of place, actually, and the church was quite full. Went over by the casket, and there stood his father. I'd only met his father one time. His name is Tim. And I could tell he was quite torn, you know, at the loss of his son. And at first I thought, oh, Michael, he don't really know you. You know, don't be a grandstander. Just, you know, stay in the shadows. You showed up and that's good enough. And the longer I stood there, I watched people go past this father, really not knowing what to say to him. People don't know what to say sometimes. I tell people, when you're the one that's had the loss and you're the one that's doing the grieving, be patient with others because they don't always know what to say or what they shouldn't say. So I approached his dad and I said, you know, I just want to tell you, you're a good dad. Yeah, you did a great job with Justin. Oh, I wish, you know, he starts running himself down a little bit. I said, no, I'm serious. He's intelligent. He was engaging, honestly cared about others, genuinely so. He always wondered if many cared about him. You know, sometimes he'd say, do I really have any friends, Mike? One night he told me, he says, I don't have any friends. I said, dude, you're sitting right across the room from an old man who's always been there for you. Well, yeah, I said, okay. Anyhow, I talked to his dad afterwards, and he says, oh, Mike, I hope he's going to heaven. Yeah, yeah, we all hope that. We talked a little more, and he kind of was quizzing me as to how in-depth of conversations I'd had with Justin, perhaps about him as a father, and shared a little bit of that. And then he said it again to me. He said, you know, I hope that he's in heaven someday. And I boldly said to his dad, I said, Tim, would you do me one favor? He says, what's that, Mike? I said, from now on, when you question Justin's salvation and you hope he's in heaven, will you praise God that he is in heaven? Yeah, I'll work on that. Away I went. Next morning's the funeral. Thought, no, I'm not going. I loved him while I had him, Jesus, and I don't have any regrets. I got to know I wished to had or anything in my love for Justin. I felt justified that I'd been there as I was to be there. Well, then my neighbor Luke sent me a Bible passage, and I can't tell you what it was, but it convicted me to go. Well, now I get down to the church. Now, remember what I said. I'm a bold witness, but then right away the devil's right hammering away on me. You should have never said that. You should have never. Who do you think you are? Okay. So I sit in front of the church praying, am I even supposed to be here, Jesus? I wasn't there so anybody else could see Mike Pedersen's here, or wasn't that nice of Mike to be here? No, I didn't want to be there if God didn't want me to be there. Hesitated, decided, well, I'll go into the church now. I remember seeing his buddies out there, and they had this pickup backed up to the back of the church. They were going to put his casket in there and bring him around to the back of the church to be buried. And I walk up the ramp, and the father, he comes to me. He says, Mike, do you have a minute? I said, well, yeah. He said, I'd just like to talk to you for a second. I says, okay, what did I do wrong now? He said, after everybody left last night, he said, Tim came and talked to me. And he mentioned that he'd had a wonderful conversation with you. And I just want you to know, Mike, how much that meant to him. And I said, Father, I want you to know how right he was with Jesus. I said, no, I'm not the priest or the pastor. But I said, the young man one night at my house confessed just about every sin he ever could remember he committed. And I says, as far as I'm concerned, he's in. Father looks at me and he goes, he is. Yeah. I encourage you today, first and foremost, to be transparent in your relationship with Jesus. Don't fake it. Don't fluff it up. Don't deny it. Accept it. Be bold. Speak the truth in love. Be kind and gentle as you rebuke others. My grandma used to say, just remember, if you're pointing the finger at somebody else, there's three more pointing back at you. Yeah. So thank you, and let the truth be told.